Welcome to Meeple, uniting players around the world. A 30-minute exploration of PJ and Gareth's board game experiences from across both sides of the Atlantic. Each episode, they share their thoughts and opinions on the world of board games, including their favourite themes, games, hot topics, and much, much more.
Hey, good morning, everyone, and welcome to episode 38, Gen Con with a J. Ooh. I'm PJ.
I'm Gareth.
And we are going to talk about Gen Con 2023, which took place where, Gareth?
In Egham, that famous suburb outside of London.
Outside of London. Okay, good, because I had no idea.
kind of southwest, west kind of area. More west. I'm not quite sure. That's cool. But it was outside London.
So, who put this together?
Gen E. That's why it's spelled Gen Con with a J, not with a G. So they play on words.
I like it.
Yeah. So Gen Con. I think this is the second Gen Con. We missed the first Gen Con. I can't remember why we missed it last year. Gen Con is to celebrate Jenny's birthday, which was last week.
Oh, wow, it was a birthday extravaganza, wasn't it?
April is a place to be, because not only was it Jenny's birthday, and we had Gen Con to celebrate, it was my birthday and my wife's birthday on Saturday. Yes. We have the same birthday.
So happy birthday to you and Carrie.
Yeah.
And happy birthday to Jenny, if she's listening. So
yeah, and it was...
I didn't know that. That's cool.
It was good. Yeah, it was quite nice hanging out with a group of, I don't know, 20 or so Instagram members of the community. And
there were a bunch of y'all.
We had a birthday cake, and we had a birthday, at least I think three renditions of happy birthday, which was absolutely awesome. I can't remember last time somebody sang me happy birthday. So so there was cake as well, made by Cara, who made a delicious like kind of sponge cake, which was
amazing. Had a lot of baked goods too, didn't you?
These general Instagram community sessions that we have between us all ourselves have lots of board games, of course, awesome people, and then we just have a food list and everyone just says I'm going to bring X, and so there's home baked cooking, there's guacamole that always comes, there's snacks galore, sweets galore, bread, all the things you need. And this venue had even had a little kitchen area, was actually a cafe. There's a lot of grazing.
Now, did you know that Craig was a baker?
No.
So the day before, which I guess this happened on Saturday, so I guess this would have been Friday, he was sending me photographs of things he was baking in preparation for this. I'm like, man, Craig's...
There was a lot of really awesome cakes, cinnamon buns. Yeah. I can't remember who made those, but... Yeah, I was really busy the last couple of weeks, so I haven't really paid attention. So we just turned up slightly later than everyone else, mostly because I had to go in queue to buy records at some ridiculous hour on Saturday morning, like 4:30 we got up, because it's International Record Day, but that's a whole different podcast we could do. So we got there about 12, and then all these events, and if anyone's interested and they're in the UK, they want to come along, just message us. Yeah. And it's just play games.
So tell me more about the venue. Like, where was it? So it was in Egham.
It's in Egham. It was in an old church. I don't know how old the church was, but let's say it's a modernist church, he says. And then at some point it started to be used as a community center. So it's actually called something community center. So it still had the organ in place. And
nice.
Where the sermon would speech, but there was a ball pit and there's a creche area. And there was, like a cafe. It's a cafe during the day. So making good use of the space, which makes it ideal for board games.
That's great. That's awesome. So what did you play? What did you get to play?
So I'm getting there slightly later. The thing was in full swing. So we sat down and we played Galileo Project, first of all.
Nice.
Is in the series of like Demeter, and then you've got you've had Ganymede. This continues the story, that kind of same kind of 1990s early vector based graphical
right,
artwork. And we played that with John from Triwing Games.
Okay.
And we had an incident.
No.
We had an incident.
What happened?
Now, the tables were slightly too small. So if I had to do some critique of the venue, for some board games, you need slightly larger tables. Mm. Now, the Galileo Project's actually quite modular. So you've kind of got boards you move around. Anyway, they were overhanging by about an inch, and about a third of the way through, John had managed to flip his board upwards. now, luckily, you can kind of calculate the reset. You know where things went because the way the cards are laid out. But we lost one of the markers, and it hardly even bounced. Like, you know, I was just like, you've hardly even shifted it. Everything else was in the middle of the table, but how can we have lost it? So then we spent about 20 minutes, maybe 15 minutes, looking and being careful not to trash the rest of the table. And we gave up. I mean, it was a missing component. There was a massive drain, like in old churches where the vents used to come in, which we lifted up. Not a drain, like it's like an air vent. But years and years of dust was below. Oh, I mean, sure. But yeah, we would have seen this bright yellow token. So yep. We decided that it must still be here, and we would wait till the end of the game, pick up the tables and move them. So we finished the game, which was very enjoyable. Go check it out. Tied it up and lift the table up. It was like a wrought iron table with legs. Lifted it up, and there it was, the yellow token in all its bright glory, which was a relief.
I have a similar story from this weekend. We played Frosthaven. We got in several scenarios. But again, Frosthaven takes a lot of space, right? So yeah. I have the scenario book, and I'm trying to lift it up so I can get ready to read the next section. And all of my cards that are in my hand are on top of it, slide onto the floor. Okay, no big deal. Pick them up. Great. Keep playing. Until the following morning when Katie's cleaning up and sweeping the floor, and she's like, I found one of your cards. So I was a card short.
You would never have known.
And I didn't even realize it. It's a good thing I survived that scenario because it was close. But yeah, you got to watch that table presence. Yeah,
we've got a whole pile of parts in this little pot.
Yeah.
I'm not even sure where they came from, but we found them, and I've gone, I'll put it on the side, put it away later. And it's now 2 years in, and I don't know. I mean, I think I'd have to sit there and maybe take a photograph, put it on Instagram, and ask the... ask the masses for
there you go,
the community challenge. Well,
what else did you play?
Yeah. Well, because Craig from Get Into Games was there, and his wife Becky. Now he's famous for numerous things, but one thing he does run is an online Blood on the Clock Tower.
Yes,
most weeks, which you have attended in the past.
I have attended several of them. Yes.
So with him in hand of a real life copy, we decided to play that. Now the hall, full of children at this point as well, didn't really have anywhere to play it. So we went outside. It was a nice day.
Okay, yeah.
And we sat outside in a semicircle, and we played with nearly probably 50-50 new players, old players, and had a great time.
There was, what, 12, 15 people?
Yeah, ten-ish, I think. And then, Craig did an amazing job being a storyteller. I started out on the evil team as a spy. Brad from Games with Beanie was the imp.
He's always bad. He always is bad. That's sad.
And got picked out quite quickly and then killed himself the next night. So I became... The imp. and then proceeded to cause havoc with, I think it's Ali, who was new, never played before for any social deduction games. She was the Baron. So we led ourselves to an evil victory by her other half was the Saint, which if he dies during the execution, the good team lose.
Yep.
So... So he always plays blue. Which turns out, actually, they're only about 25 minutes from where I live. So
what?
We have another set of gamers on the South Coast.
That's great.
It's where to be. So we will at some point, I hope soon, get to hang out with those guys as well. That was really fun. So yeah, Blonde Cocktail was brilliant. Everyone had a good time.
Good.
And we ended the with just one game. We might have stayed for two, but it got a bit cold and it started to spit with rain. So inside we came. Then we played Chai, which we spoke about.
Yes.
With Craig, I think.
We did.
On maybe four episodes ago.
We did.
So, yeah, we sat down and played Chai, myself and Carrie, Craig and Becky, and it was just as delightful as I guess you've got it as well, haven't you?
No, I don't.
No, just Craig. We both said because how much we wanted it.
What we talked about was how difficult it is to
yes,
get a copy.
That's right.
And that Chai for two has got its own problems.
Yeah, it's got its own problems. So, yeah, I enjoyed that. It's a nice kind of set collection. I love components, really nice. And it was a standard version. So that lived up to what I expected. Now, at this point, I'm starting to fade. I am feeling tired.
Yeah.
So I think I woke up at 4:30. We were queuing about 5:30, 5:20 to 6 in 2 degrees. It was pretty cold. And me being slightly older now, I'm not really made out for standing in queues for 3 hours for some records and then going to a convention. Anyway, so we then were taught to keep the heroes out.
Talk to me about that. I'm not familiar with that.
So I think one of the Southampton team of crew have got it, but Brad was very keen to teach us. You are on the evil team. You inside a dungeon. It's kind of got a whole set of maps you play through as a campaign, but we started with the entry level map. You have a mixture of different monsters. You are so I was like the wizards, Craig was the dragon, Carrie was like a slime, and Kira was a ghoul. They've all got different powers. So I have two wizards who can teleport and do some stuff. The dragon was on his own in the treasure chamber, and you'll start on the map. You can basically it's card drafting, so you draw 5 cards, you play the card, and it might move, or you might activate a room, or you can shoot, or you can attack. And every turn, so let's say I go, end of my turn, the heroes try to invade, so another card is revealed, and the heroes start coming into the dungeon. So it kind of reminded me of the games like Dungeon Keeper from like the kind of late 90s, early noughties, where you're just trying to defend.
Okay.
So you basically keep taking it in turns, turn, invade. And what's quite stressful is every time a hero moves into a room, if there's a hero that's been kind of knocked out or is kind of been utilized, he gets kind of energized by another hero arriving. And so it activates again. So you can actually end up with going into a room with two heroes that were basically resting and they get re-energized and they come back at three. And what needs to happen is they need to basically go through rooms, opening treasure chests. If they get to the dragon's treasure hoards and four of them are in there, and the end of the round, they activate, the game is over. Hmm. And it was close a couple of times, and we got to the very last card, and actually it was a rest card, and so we were successful.
Nice.
So it was good. I was feeling very tired, and then we decided that I needed to eat. So we had some pizza that was delivered in, and that gave me the second wind. And that at that point, some of the kids had gone home. Craig had gone home because there were quite a few younger families there. So then we taught, or I taught, Rolling Realms to Shelley from Out of Town Games.
Yep,
and her son. And we played through, you know, a round of Rolling Realms. I do like Rolling Realms. It's so easy to teach.
So good.
And it's so a nice, good. A really nice roll and write.
It really is.
Yeah.
You know,
now generally when I teach that, I still stick to the original realms,
but we did add in no promos.
No, we added in the one added in right in the last round was Libertalia because we played Libertalia with them before.
Libertalia is an easy realm to incorporate,
easy until you really mess it up, like I did. And I wrote a number down, then realized how much I'd messed up on that card. But it is a nice card. So if anyone's listening and hasn't checked out Rolling Realms, do. It's from Jamie Stegmaier, based on many of the games that's in his portfolio of board games under Stonemaier. And then he's added loads of promos in, which is what's wonderful. And then we had about an hour to go, and we wrapped the day up with Planet Unknown.
Oh, man. Now you're as if I weren't jealous enough.
I haven't played that for ages.
I still haven't played it. I can't find a copy anywhere.
Yeah, and this was, I think it's Jenny's copy. So what's great is people bring, you know, four or five games each.
Right.
And they end up in a big pile. And mm-hmm. then we had about an hour and a half to go. And we broke off into three groups and we mixed up. Because I've been with Carrie and Kira the whole way nearly, because where we arrived late, we were always kind of out of sync.
Right.
So when we would finish, other teams had finished. So we kind of picked up some stragglers. But in that game, Carrie and Kira went to play Stop the Train, Social Deduction, with like Nick, Board Game Review UK, Harrison, I'm trying to think who else on that table. And the other group played something I've completely forgotten. So I won't dwell on it. So four of us sat down, myself, Lizzie, Board Game with my family. Kara, and then they're Singer Games, but I've forgotten the gentleman's name. But yeah, they hadn't played before. And we sat and played that through, which is obviously you are got the lovely Lazy Susan spinning wheel, taking a tile, placing it on the map, trying to score optimally. And it's nice. It took about an hour, and then we tidied up, left the place like we found it. And there was a lot of rubbish, lots of food redistributed, games packing up. And then we left. And that was, and we got home about 11 p.m. So I think that'd be out by about 10.
So we're talking about an hour drive?
Yeah, an hour drive. Yeah.
Yeah.
About an hour. It was into London, was a bit longer getting there. But yeah, it was really good. And then we all, so that's Gen Con. And I then think the next time we will see everybody will be at the UK Games Expo.
Which is coming up.
That is the end of May. So let's be honest, it's only 5 or 6 weeks away.
I've got a convention before that.
What have you got?
I've got Geekway to the West in St. Louis, May 17th to the 20th.
And is what sort of convention? Is that board gaming or has it got trade element to it?
It is board gaming.
To play games.
There's a small vendor hall, but it's so small. It's small. It's really focused on open gaming, right? So it's just a huge hall with tables for gaming, and you can bring your own games and play whatever you want to do. They also have the games library that is housed at Miniature Market in St. Louis, which is massive. And then they've got a play and win section. So Katie and I have been really, and we're going to be very strategic about it this year. So we went through the play and win list, wrote down the games we want to play, underlined. You can hear my paper. Underline the games that we hope we get to play and we hope we win, one of which is Planet Unknown.
And how's that work then? So you play
the game, and then like when you're done, you turn it back in. And they've got a little thing for you to fill out. I have not done the play and win before.
No.
I don't know if you do a review or you're just putting your name and it's like a raffle drawing. But at the end of the weekend, you know, they'll call out names and you'll win that copy. You win the copy.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's how I understand it.
So the more you play, maybe the less popular games you play, I guess you've got a better chance. Because you had quite a list. Do you want to, is it a secret? You don't want people to know your strategy here.
I don't think it's a secret. I don't know how much of a strategy it is, but there's, we got 2, 4, 6, 8. There's about 25 games on this list. The list is huge, so we kind of had to narrow it down. The other thing, too, is, like I said, Planet Unknown, if we even get a copy, right? Because if it's checked out and someone else is playing it, you have to check it out yourself.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
So, like, if you check it out, I can come and join you and play it.
But only I can win it.
Yeah, which is okay. I mean, I'm okay with that too. Because the other objective of Geekway, the beauty of Geekway, is it allows us to play games. And then when we get to Gen Con, that's Gen Con with a G. We'll know. We'll be okay. We know we want to buy this game, or you know, or not, right? I know a lot of people use Board Game Arena for that same purpose, playing games that are new, to decide whether to purchase it or not. So it's kind of our very own. So we're doing that. And then I have an interview this Friday with Double Exposure to see if I'm going to get a position to work at Origins.
When's Origins?
Origins is June. It's June. I don't know the exact dates.
Yeah. It's a couple of weeks usually after the Games Expo.
2 weeks after UK. Yeah. So I'm excited. I'm excited about that. I do real quick. I want to tell you my parallel story while you were at Gen Con with a J, right? So like I said, we played Frosthaven. We got our group together. We played the first three actual scenarios.
Is that the first time you've got together with Frosthaven?
No, because 2 weeks ago we played Scenario Zero, which was teachable.
Right, okay.
So we played Scenario One, and this is not really spoilers. Scenario One is when you actually arrive at Frosthaven, and the scenario is that it's under attack, and so you've got to go and help out. Well, it was my last opportunity for a teachable moment for one of our players who had never played Gloomhaven. Right. So midway through the game, I was killed. So they're still playing for another 2 hours. That's when I started bothering you with all my text messages.
Got you.
Because I'm like, okay, I just want to call you. And
so you had to wait 2 hours. Nothing you can do.
Yeah. Nothing I could do.
That sucks.
It's okay. It was fine.
2 hours. 2 hours.
But you know, Eric had brought scotch broth with corned beef and turnips. And so I got to eat. Katie made a bread pudding. So I got to eat that too and hang out and just chat with people. And then interestingly enough, there's a knock on the front door.
Yeah. Postman.
Yes.
What did you get?
Isofarian Guard.
What is that?
We were a late pledge to this game. It's by Sky Kingdom Games.
Okay, yeah.
It is a 1-2 player cooperative campaign driven game. They've got the Foreteller app, and it's kind of like, it's similar to ISS Vanguard in that it's that campaign cooperative type of a game, except this is very much, you know, swords and armor and fighting in the winter of Isofar. Haven't really gotten too much into it. We organized the cards and everything. The box is 36 pounds in weight. It is amazing. Comes with miniatures, beautiful chips. No.
Because you've got, have you finished ISS Vanguard?
No.
You've got Frosthaven on the go. Maybe you should stop buying campaign games.
But we've got Forsaken that's coming. And we've got Mythwind that's on a way.
It's basically put them into deep storage.
Yeah.
And play them in.
Well, you know what happened, right? The pandemic, a lot of game designers started focusing because everyone was home. Mm-hmm. But now we're not locked down anymore. So, they're all starting to come in, right? They're starting to arrive at your door. And, so the beauty is what we're thinking about, although I don't know that we're going to do it, but I tried to convince Katie. I was like, why don't we restart ISS Vanguard with two of our friends because it plays four.
Crazy.
No, it's great because we now know how it plays. So it's like now we can, on Friday nights with the two guys, the four of us, we can play. And then during the week, Katie and I could play Isofarian Guard. That was the appeal to the game, is that it's a 1 or 2 player game.
And Frosthaven is with your other group. So that's
Frosthaven's another group.
Okay.
So to be fair, Frosthaven, there's Katie and I and three guys, two of which are also in the Friday night group. So there's some overlap. It's a very small group, but so yeah, a lot of campaign games. Yeah.
The good news for us is that we got Mosaic, which I think you've got, haven't you?
Yeah, but I have the middle version.
Yeah, we've got
you have the Colossus. I have the Sphinx.
Yeah, I believe it shipped. There's something shipped from GameQuest over here, so I think that's coming.
Craig got his retail version.
Yeah, it's definitely available now. And then only 2 weeks away, 13th of May, we have TI Twilight Imperium Day 3 lined up already. So I think everyone nearly is available.
Okay.
So that'll be fun.
That will be fun.
It's a day after your birthday, it would seem.
No kidding.
It's in my diary. Check that out.
It is not far away. That is my birthday. It is not far.
No. Now, May's really busy for us because we've got weddings. There's a king's coronation that same weekend.
So we were talking with some people at work, and we're talking about doing a viewing party here at work for the coronation. Yeah.
I picked my sister's wedding, so I'm not sure how much you're actually going to see.
Well, and then, so you had Jenny's birthday. It was you and Carrie's birthday on Saturday, which was Gen Con. Would you say International Records Day?
Yeah, that date moves, but it's always about this time of year.
Okay. But then Sunday, yesterday, right, was St. George Day?
Yes.
Which is big in your country as well?
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, I don't think I'm worried about it.
Big, I say big. There were a lot of posts on Instagram.
Yeah. People do celebrate it.
So for our American and non-British listeners, what exactly is St. George Day? Like, what's the significance there?
I have no idea. You're asking me a question about the country.
I'm so sorry.
I'll read from Wikipedia for you. Patron saint of England, established in Tudor period, which is kind of like 1485 to 1603.
Yeah, that's going to be Henry the VII and VIII.
And it's observed in 23 countries around the world.
Whoa.
It's always on the 23rd of April.
Okay.
And it's celebrating St. George, which is a lot to read. So I'd suggest, like I'm looking right now, anyone wants to know about it, go and read about it on Wikipedia. Clearly, I'm not that spun up on the saints' days across the UK.
But it's more entertaining to hear it from you than read it on Wikipedia.
I could read a paragraph. Maybe it's another show. I could just end a show with a page read out. there's a lot of history.
I can imagine, yeah. Okay.
We went to Winchester, and then we went for a Thai restaurant, and we played Love Letter in the afternoon.
So good.
Out and about. And that was it. And then we've got day after day. And then the show goes out tomorrow.
So since we're coming to the end of the episode, how about a little lanyap? Are you okay with a little lanyap?
Go for it. What have you got?
So last week was travel games, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So we picked up what I think, and I posted something or I shared it with you. The ultimate travel game just released this Friday in retail is Azul Mini.
I saw. Looks really cute.
So it is. So it's your basic Azul. The beauty is that the player mats have grids. It's a plastic grid and has these little sliding markers for you to keep track of your score. The tiles are smaller, but they're still that quality
kind of
plastic.
Baker-like. Yeah.
There's a little indentation because when they sit on your player mat, and it's just very lovely. The box that the game comes in fits inside a cloth bag with the Azul logo on the outside. And has, it's like a little tote bag. It's got the handle. And that bag is what you use to put the tiles in as you're drawing them out during the course of the game. So every component of the game that makes it portable, is incorporated into the game. So great design, great game, lots of fun.
Did you purchase it?
We did. We bought it. We played it.
How much is it?
Early Saturday morning. 20 US.
That's okay.
No, yeah. And Azul is a little bit more, obviously is more than 20. And so for $20, you could get a copy of Azul, just a little bit smaller. Yeah.
I think we might have sold our Azul.
Yeah.
And maybe a travel version would be... I quite like the idea of travel because it's quite a nice game. Just, back to small space on the table in a pub.
Yep. Yeah. Shall go and the player mat is plastic. It's completely encased in plastic. So
yeah.
If you were to spill a beer.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I'm thinking.
Don't do that. But if you were to, right? Yeah.
And how many players does it play up to? Still
four.
Okay, four.
Yeah, 2 to 4. So
I'll check it out. $20.
That is your Lagniappe of the day, ladies and gentlemen.
It is. And there we are. Bang on the nose. 30 minutes in. And with perfection. That, we will say thank you, PJ. It's been a pleasure sharing Gen Con with a J with you. And I will speak to you again soon.
Thanks, everyone, for listening. Please subscribe. And as always, we love to hear your thoughts and ideas. So make sure to leave those in the comments. And don't forget, you can also chat with us both on Instagram @MeepleToMeeple.